We're going to be in 1 Peter through our study here this morning as we take a look at the subject, the topic of submission. In doing the study and the prep work for this, I was struck by how often this term is found, or this concept is found, in this short book of 1 Peter. It's actually one of several themes that are woven through this epistle. This letter was written to Christians who were suffering terribly for their faith, and Peter is not writing them and telling them, oh, don't worry, it's going to get better soon. He's telling them, it's going to get worse. But he doesn't tell them to rebel. He doesn't tell them to refuse and protest this. A theme woven throughout the book is submission. And that's how we weather the storm of persecution and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. This is a subject that I've wanted to preach on for some time. It came back on my radar as we were studying the book of Titus in our Wednesday afternoon class, that the subject shows up three times in a very short span in that book. So it got back on my radar again. But there's one thing I've known about preaching on this subject is that it's offensive to some people. The idea of submitting, the idea of subjecting myself to someone else. I mean, think about it. We're Americans. For 250 years, we have been free. And the idea of subjecting ourselves to somebody and obeying somebody else, we fought an entire war about that and we won. And you're going to talk to me about submitting and putting myself under someone else? That doesn't set well with our 21st century American ears. Why are some people so opposed to the idea of submission? Well, some people just don't trust people in authority. It might be they don't trust that person who is in authority, or they don't trust people in authority in general. It might be that some don't like it because they fear the idea of losing autonomy. They want to be able to make their own decisions. They want to make sure that their voice is heard as an individual, and if they submit to someone, they fear that they could be losing that. Some don't like the idea of submission because they're being asked to submit to somebody who is, in their mind, their inferior. You know, under normal circumstances, all things created equal, and the workplace, people are promoted based upon their experience and based upon their skill, but it's not always an ideal world. It might be that the boss's nephew all of a sudden comes into the job and he's made your supervisor. He doesn't have near the education, near the experience, but all of a sudden now you have to answer to that person. We can have a problem with that. Some people view submission as a position of weakness and defeat. I'm not a fan of mixed martial arts or boxing or wrestling or any of that. I'm just not entertained by that. But I'm made to understand that in MMA, in the mixed martial arts, one of the ways that a person wins is by pinning their opponent down in such a way the opponent knows there's nothing to do other than to submit. And they tap out. And that's what it's called. You submit. That's what the loser does. Who wants to do that? Who wants to be in that position of defeat? Some view submission as a position of inequality or oppression. And that if they somehow submit to others, then they are violating, they're going against 100 plus years of people who have fought against that. They're not about to betray them in that. Some, quite honestly, have endured abusive situations in the past, which understandably makes it difficult for them to yield control to someone yet again. It could be any of those reasons, a combination of those reasons, or maybe even something that we haven't even looked at. Today, a lot of people cringe at the idea of submission, but it's not just in the world, it's also in the Lord's church. We encounter it from time to time from brethren who, despite the New Testament's teaching on this subject, they meet it with criticism and scorn and ridicule and even resistance. I want to talk about it for a few moments this morning. Let's talk about submission. Let's talk about what it is, and let's look at some times when the New Testament tells us that God commands us to submit. So let's start first by defining our term, making sure we're all on the same page, make sure we all understand exactly what we're talking about. Let's not bring some definitions outside the Bible to this subject. Let's look and let's see what submission really is. Well, first place I want to look at, though, is an English dictionary. An English dictionary. The word submit, according to Webster's dictionary, means to yield to the action, control, or power of another or others. So in the English, the word submit means to yield to another, to yield to their power, to yield to their control. That's a part of the word submission. Now, the New Testament is translated from Greek. It was originally written in Koine Greek. There are a handful of words that are translated as submit or ideas that are in that family of submission. But of all those handful of words, by and large, the one that's used the most is hupotasso. Hupotasso is found 38 times in the New Testament, 6 times in the book of 1 Peter. That's one of the things that made that epistle stand out to me in this study. You got a little bitty 5-chapter book, and yet 6 times this word appears there. So you keep your place in 1 Peter. We're going to look at other scriptures, but you keep your place here. We're going to come back and really use it as an outline for our study to see how hupotasso works. What is hupotasso? Well, Thayer says it means to arrange under. To arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, to put in subjection. I like Vine's definition. Thayer and Vine both give us lexicons of these Greek words, what these words mean and how they were used in the New Testament. Vines tells us that hupotasso is primarily a military term. Now you think about that, rank is very important in the military and keeping things in order as they would fall under rank. So to arrange under, to put under, to rank under. Hupotasso, you see, is actually a compound word. Hupo means under, tasso means to arrange. So literally, to arrange under. It does refer to the act of putting someone else in subjection. That is, taking someone and putting them under authority or under control. But it's really definition B that should stand out to us. This is what we're going to focus on today. In the middle or passive voice, it means to subject one's self. So when we talk about submission, if your idea of submission is somebody making you do what they want you to do, that's not what we're looking at. What the New Testament, what hupotasso is talking about, is you putting yourself under someone else. It's not someone forcing you, it's you voluntarily putting yourself under someone else, putting yourself in subjection to another person. I like it when things are simple. To me, when I think of submission, I think of the yield sign. That, remember, in the English definition, it means to yield. So when we think about submission, we're not talking about enslaving someone. We're talking about you and I yielding to someone else. The word yield, go back to Webster's dictionary, the word yield means to give place, to lose precedence, leadership, to let another have the right of way. Look at definition A. That's where we're going to camp today, to let another have the right of way, to give up willingly a right, position, privilege, etc. We're going to look at all these as we continue through this study, but let's put ourselves in the car, and let's go out and let's drive, and as we're driving, we're going to encounter this yield sign. What does that mean? That yield sign tells us that at this particular intersection, when you are in this lane, you are to give the cars in the other lane the right of way. They have the right of way. Now, you know good and well what the state of Ohio did. The state of Ohio knew that you were going to be there one day, and they stuck it to you. They decided that the people in the cars in the other lane are more important than you. They're better than you, and you need to just sit and let the important people go by first. No, that's not what happened. It has absolutely nothing to do with who's more important than the other. It has absolutely nothing to do with worth. It has everything to do with, in that given situation, who has the right of way, so that the traffic can continue to flow in a safe and efficient manner. So again, we're going to come back to this driving illustration and encountering this yield sign as we go through this study. Doesn't have anything to do with who's the most important. It has to do with who is in what lane and what circumstance and who goes first and who needs to let the others go first, who needs to yield the right of way. Now, I don't know about you, but in my house, there's a person that sometimes has a hard time yielding to other people when they're driving. It can be difficult behind the wheel of a car, but you and I both know that it can be even more difficult in other areas of our lives. So let's take this idea of yielding to another, of willingly putting ourselves in subjection to or under someone or something else. And let's turn now to 1 Peter and let's see the different areas in which we have to do this in our lives. Number one, we're going to have to do this in society at large or society in general. We're going to have to do it with government. That's where Peter starts with hupotasso. The first time that it's found is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 13. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit, hupotasso. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We must subject ourselves to governing authorities. Notice, every ordinance or every institution, not just the ones you like, not just the ones you think are fair, not just the ones you agree with, everyone. Everyone. Romans chapter 13 is really the best passage to look at regarding our responsibility to governing authorities or civic government. Romans chapter 13, start at verse 1. Let every soul be subject, hupotasso. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority. So notice Peter said every institution or every ordinance. Paul says every person. So this applies to all of us. It applies to every law, every governing body. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. What does that mean? That means civic government is ordained by God. Even if it isn't righteous, even if it is unjust, it's ordained by God. We need to respect that. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. There it is in verse 1 and in verse 5. We are to be subject to these authorities. Our scripture reading at the beginning of services, Titus chapter 3 and at verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, hupotasso, and to obey. So we are to obey the government. It doesn't matter who these officials are. It doesn't matter if I voted for them or against them. You mentioned voting for them and against them in the first century. They would know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter how oppressive we find the laws to be. We must subject ourselves to the governing authorities. Now, I know that a good portion of you right now are chomping at the bit and ready to say, except when it violates God's law. Yes, there's an exception to this. That passage is in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Let's look at that passage very quickly. We like exceptions. We like exceptions, and every soul to every ordinance, aha, we have an exception. Here's the exception. The Sanhedrin told the apostles, do not preach in the name of Christ. The Sanhedrin is the highest ranking civil government body in Israel at that time. And they told the apostles, do not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And you know how Peter responds, we ought to obey God rather than men. Yes. Whenever God's law is going to have us violating, or whenever man's law, let's get this right, whenever man's law is going to have us violating God's law, we must obey God and face whatever consequences may come. But what I'm wondering, for just a moment, I'm wondering where it is that we stand on this particular aspect of the doctrine of Christ. Do we stand firmly on the exception, or do we stand firmly on be subject to every ordinance? What I mean by that is, are we ready to obey, or are we looking for the exception? If we have hupotassoed ourselves, we're looking to obey. We're looking to be in compliance. We're looking to obey every law that we are under. In society, it's not just government. I want to go to the workplace for just a moment. The very next thing that Peter talks about, the next place he takes us to, is talking to servants. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, servants, be submissive, hupotasso, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Servants were to subject themselves to their masters. We could spend a long time talking about slavery in the Bible. We're having a good discussion of that right now as we're studying Philemon in our Wednesday afternoon class. That's really an entire separate lesson from this. So I would save more in-depth comments for another time. What Peter tells servants here is not to rebel and demand freedom. He tells them to subject themselves to their masters regardless of whether they are good and gentle or harsh. It didn't matter. You hupotasso. you put yourself under that person. Now, we are not slaves in this sense, but Bible students and scholars and elders and preachers and Bible class teachers for a long, long time have seen that the principles regarding the instructions to servants and slaves are applicable to us on the workplace. On the workplace, there's a boss. There's a manager. There's a supervisor. There's a foreman. Someone has to be in charge or nothing's going to get done unless you're in just an exceptional place. Workplace, or you're self-employed, and even then, someone's got to be in charge. You have to be a self-motivator to be successfully self-employed. A Christian is going to submit in the workplace. A Christian is going to do what the boss, what the manager tells them to do. And it's not on the slide, but let's take that to school as well. In school, someone's in charge. And if you're a student, it is not you. And it's not your parents either, if you're going to public school. One of the problems that we have in public school today is children aren't sent to school with the mind of submitting and doing what the teachers tell them to do. They're being sent to school with, hey, you've got your rights, and you make sure, and if your rights get violated, don't worry, mom and dad will come down there and get your teacher fired. And that's causing some major problems in some of the public schools. And we'll talk more in just a second about where that problem comes from and where it needs to be solved. But even in school, we have to have hupotasso. We have to have submission. So we have to have it in our society. And then next, Peter takes us into the home. 1 Peter, look at chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner and former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Go back to verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive, hupotasso, to your own husband. Arrange yourself under the leadership of your husband. Now, did you notice verse 5? Verse 5 said, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves." Submitting to your husband, voluntarily yielding and placing yourself under his leadership, is what holy women who trust in God do. It's what they do. But now, Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 18 says that this is fitting to the Lord. Last week we talked about obedience and why obedience pleases God. This pleases God when you do this with your husband and place yourself under his leadership. But listen to me. The wife is not the only person in the home who's given the responsibility of placing themselves under another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and at verse 3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." There's a lot of hupotassoing going on here. There's a lot of people who are under someone else. Notice who's mentioned first. The man. The man is under Christ. He must yield himself and put himself under Christ. Yielding to the Lord in love and reverence hardly puts any man in a position to be a tyrant over his wife and children. If we can go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we left off at verse 6. Verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The husband is to lead his wife with love and understanding, knowing that he will be held accountable by God for how he leads and loves his wife. However the husband's leadership is, if we can go back to chapter 2 and at verse 8, it can either be good and gentle, or unfortunately it can be harsh. Whatever it is, the wife is to submit to her own husband. But it's not just the wife and it's not just the husband who are in a position of hupotasso or submitting in the home, the children. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Remember, God made it easy on children, gave them just one command to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word obey is not hupotasso, but it is from the hupo family. So it's very much connected with putting yourself under. Children are to obey. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4, to be qualified, an elder must have their children in submission with all reverence. That is hupotasso there. Children must yield. Now, let's get back in the car. In the home, there are going to be some intersections where you have to yield. There are going to be some where you don't have to yield. But if you're a child in the home, you have to yield at every intersection. Can I say that again so that you get it? Because I know your children heard it. In the home, the children have to yield at every intersection. Mom and dad are in charge. And this idea of the children being in charge of anything in the home is not what the Scriptures teach. Submission, that is voluntarily putting yourself under one of authority, is something that is patterned, learned, and enforced in the home. And I promise you, if your children don't learn to yield and place themselves under you, they're not going to do it in the workplace, they're not going to do it in society, and they're not going to do it before God. You will fail as a parent if you don't insist that your children learn how to submit. But here we are in the home, we have to submit. We also have to submit in the church. Before we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, I would remind you, because many of us have studied this before, that Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, all things are placed under Christ. Christ is exalted. He is put above all things. All things are placed in submission to Him in the church. So Christ is the head of the church. How does that impact me? I want to remind you that no one is forced into the church. We enter the church voluntarily. And if we don't voluntarily yield ourselves and put ourselves beneath Christ, we're not going to be in the church. So in the church, Christ is the head, and we have to yield to Him. What does that mean about the rest of us? That we're free to do whatever? No. The Scriptures say that we are to submit, hupotasso, to one another. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. No member of the local church is any more or less important than any other member. I remind you what our Lord said on more than one occasion. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. And so we take on that servant role, that servant mentality, which says, I'm yielding myself to you. So in the church, we're about submission. We are submitting to one another. But in the local church, where there's a plurality of men who are qualified to serve, there are elders. There are elders who are in a position of limited authority in the local church. Now we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. That word overseer there means a superintendent. If you want to go back to the workplace, it's the manager. It's the one who himself has a boss, but has the responsibility to make sure that everything on the work site gets done properly. And that's what elders do. Elders have that responsibility. Verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, we have a chief shepherd. Elders are going to have to answer to the chief shepherd. But in the meantime, verse 5, likewise you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, Paul admonished them to respect, to honor those who are over you in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says to obey and be submissive to those who are over you. And the context makes it clear that's not talking about governing officials. It's talking about elders in the church. So I have to yield in the church. I yield to Christ. I yield to every member. And I yield to the elders. If you promise not to tell the other elders this, even in the eldership, there's yielding that's going on. Because we'll talk about something, and we have different ideas. And if we didn't yield, we wouldn't get anything decided. So there's yielding that starts at the top and works its way down, if you want to use that model. There is hupotasso going on in the church. Now, I want to look at this area as well. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 15. The word hupotasso isn't used here, but the concept most definitely is here in this verse. You know, the heart really is where you need to start, but in this study, it's close to where we are ending. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I've got the New American Standard Bible on the slide here because I like the way that it's worded here. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. Now, we're ready to do what's in this verse after the first line. We often go to this verse and we talk about, hey, we've got to defend our faith. We've got to be ready to give an answer. Someone asks us why we believe in God, why we believe in this, why we don't believe in that. Here's the scripture that tells us we have to be ready to answer that question. Yes, we'll stand on this verse. We'll have a lot of good studies from this verse. But right now we're looking at the first line, the line that often gets skipped over. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. What does it mean to sanctify? It means to set apart. You and I have been sanctified by God. We've been saved of our sins. We've been taken up out of this world that's in filth and sin. We've been cleansed and we have been set aside as God's special people. He sees us as His special people. Well, we've got to do the same thing with Christ. We set Christ aside. Where? In our hearts. To what position? Lord! We make Him Lord in our heart. And the only way that you and I can really make Christ Lord in our heart is if we hupotasso under him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Luke 6, verse 46. You get what we're saying here. And we have to do this in the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We've got to get it right in our heart. That is, we have to have Jesus as Lord in our heart. To the Christian who has a problem with submission. If you have a problem with submission, the problem may not be with other people. It may not be with those who are in authority and you don't trust them. It may not be with those who you think are trying to put you down. It may not be with those who actually legitimately did something bad to you in the past. Are you listening to me? The problem may be with your heart, because you haven't put yourself under Christ in your heart. If you will voluntarily yield yourself fully to Christ in your heart, then this matter of voluntarily yielding to others will fall right into place. Yes, it's very much a matter of the heart. That's where we need to fix it if we have a problem with submission. Who's going to help us with that? Jesus is going to help us with that. If we need a lesson on how to subject ourselves to others, we need look no further than the Christ that we are making Lord in our hearts. He lived a life of perfect subjection. As a 12-year-old child, he subjected himself to his parents. The first time hupotasso appears in the New Testament is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, and it's talking about Jesus Christ obeying his parents, being submissive and subjective to Joseph and Mary. We know that Jesus was submissive to his heavenly Father. Hupotasso isn't there, but Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Having become perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He submitted himself to his Father, and he submitted himself to his Father's will. And with this, I want to bring us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, to the scripture we read just a few moments before the sermon down at the Lord's table. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look at where this passage lies in Peter's train of thought here, the Holy Spirit's train of thought. He's just talked to servants. He's just told servants to submit to your masters, even those who are harsh. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Consider Jesus, who left you an example, and he submitted himself under the worst of circumstances. And then when you get into chapter 3, verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. The likewise there, I don't believe, is tied back to the servants of verse 18. It could be. The principle applies everywhere. But the likewise ties back to Christ. You're not a slave. If you're a wife submitting to your husband, you're not a slave submitting to a master. You're following the example of Christ. Likewise, submit to your own husbands. Let's get back in the car. You know, as we're driving We're going to encounter those yield signs, and we have to yield, we have to stop. But there's one car that never has to stop at a yield sign. There's one vehicle that never has to give the right of way. The president's motorcade never yields. Never yields. In a very good autobiography on President Harry Truman, I think it's McAuliffe who wrote it. The thing's bigger than my English dictionary. But he makes the observation that when Eisenhower was inaugurated as president, the outgoing President Truman got into his limousine, drove away, and for the first time in almost 8 years, stopped at a red light. He was no longer president. When I was just out of high school, President George H.W. Bush, number 41, made an impromptu visit to Northwest Arkansas. He flew up there so that he could present a medal, lifetime medal, to Sam Walton. It turned out Sam Walton was in his last couple of weeks of life. He died shortly after. And that made the news. The president came to town. There wasn't a big airport at that time. He had to fly in on a little bitty plane and land in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and got on the interstate and made his trek from Fayetteville all the way up to Bentonville, best as I remember, 30 miles or more. That entire interstate was shut down. My dad forgot all about it and tried to get on, and he was met by a cop who was parked across the road. You're not getting on. The president doesn't yield to anybody. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind? If you look up at verses, really 1 through 4, but 3 through 4 gets it. You put others before yourself. You think of others greater than yourself. You submit to others. Just what we've been talking about today. Well, who else did this? Christ did this. Here's what he did. "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." He outranked the president. He was God in the flesh when he came here. If anybody had the right of way, it was him. What did he do? "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." It's not hupotasso, but he put himself under. Who? Everyone. Everyone. "And became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him." And you know, God will highly exalt us when we do the same thing. Submission. Willingly placing others before ourselves. This is the way God has commanded us to live, because this is the way God created us to live. To willingly yield and put ourselves in subjection to others. Now, there are different reasons why we struggle with submission and obedience and yielding ourselves and placing ourselves in subjection to others. We need to acknowledge those things. We need to work on those things, because submission is not optional. And remember, it has absolutely nothing to do with your worth or someone else's worth. It has to do with where we are in that particular situation. God has said who has the right of way. We need to acknowledge that. And we need to be ready and willing to yield to that. It has to do with surrendering ourselves to the Lord and trusting that His way is the right way. Not only for the here and now, but also for that which is to come. I thank you for your kind attention, for having your Bible out and looking and studying along as we talk about something that you know is controversial among some people. But the Bible talks about it. We need to understand exactly what the Bible has to say on this subject. Maybe you need to submit yourself to the gospel. Maybe you need to be saved. You need to become a Christian. You do that by coming humbly to the Lord and calling on His name for salvation. That is, placing yourself under Him and His authority and the conditions of His gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized to have those sins washed away. Whatever your spiritual need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this.